Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
It's time to talk a little baseball with our good friend Kevin Franzen, now calling games for the Phillies, who had a nice little tidy 2 hour and 40 minute game today. I'm sure that was not lost on Franny. Was it, Franny?
No, it was great. What's up, boys? Tenley came. It was a little date day for my daughter and I, so it was
nice.
Pretty awesome. Be at the yard. So nothing better than a 240 game with a 5-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what
Doc
ordered, man. Yeah, buddy.
So Wheeler went 8 innings, went out for the ninth two starts ago in St. Louis. He and Adam Wainwright, I think it was a 220 game.
Ooh.
Both pitchers did not leave the rubber until they, like, actually left the mound to go into the dugout. It was the most impressive thing because you were like, I miss those days when everyone did that. And, you know, it is what it is.
It is
not
good
anymore. That's what it is.
No. It's look, as a hitter, you hated when a guy was on the mound ready to go. Because then, you know, if especially for a guy like myself, a bench player, right, you don't get a lot of at-bats. You already feel like, oh, man, this guy has something on me right now. Right? He's on the mound. He's like, he just thinks I'm an out. He were, but I mean, like, he's like, dude's doing a Jedi mind trick on you by just standing on the rubber ready to go. And if people watch enough of the game, they complain about the time and all this stuff. It's like, look, if a pitcher stays on the rubber, that's going to mean more action because he's going to go quicker. You know, hitters are going to be locked in a little bit more. They're not going to freeze themselves by walking around home plate. They're not doing that whole thing. And guess what? Infielders, all that stuff, they're locked in. It's better baseball. That's the thing that you learn about this whole thing is that it's better games when the pace is set by that pitcher. And it's an amazing thing.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. I'll watch it. Franny, I've watched quite a bit of baseball so far this year, and you'll see a game. You see 3-1 games that are 3.5 hours, 2-1 games that are three hours.
We had one.
How does that even happen? And you like, go back and you like you try to figure it out. Like, how did this happen? Like, how do we get to a game? You're like, it's a well pitched game, well played game, and it's still 3 hours in 20 minutes. Anyway, I don't want to get into the.
We had 116 pitches thrown by our pitchers yesterday, in the first 4 2/3 innings.
Oh,
yay.
116. You're like, throw a strike.
Seriously. You're going to run.
Oh, my God.
Bum rush the guy.
But that's the thing.
If you notice,
like, you're trying to nibble so much, and it's like you're not attacking the zone. Nibbling's – there's the nibblers that don't have stuff, right, that they're trying to get you. And then if you throw a 92, 93, you got something there. Attack the zone and make these guys like the action. Get the action going.
I wanted to get your thoughts on something we've talked about a little bit the past couple days, in that guys throw harder now today than they ever have, yet it seems to me, at least in the games I'm watching, and it could be wrong, but it just seems like guys throw fewer fastballs in today's game, yet they can throw fastballs faster than guys used to be able to, and they rely on them less. Is that – I don't know if the numbers support that or what
you
see. Yeah,
no, it does, for sure. Well, because there's – you know, hitters counts, 2031. There's no hitters counts anymore.
No more.
Right.
Last night, you see – what do we see? Three straight 3-1 sliders. And you're going, wait, what? Like, what are you doing? Ball four. You know, it's just like those type things that just bother you. Because the velocity thing is obvious, right? And guys are throwing harder. The spin rates on things, people hate. They say that's an analytic. It's just another way of saying the ball gets up on these guys quicker, right? That extra life that you would hear about Roger Clemens, right? The ball that would go down and everyone would be like, I thought it was going in the dirt and just hovered above the ground and stayed down in that low strike. That's spin rate, right? That's a high spin rate. Mm-hmm. Well, you got these guys that are elevating. Well, what are they elevating with? They're elevating with straight four-seam fastballs. Now, like, Gausman has a little two-seam run on it. DeSclafani has two-seam run on it. You get these guys, like Zach Wheeler today. I mean, he's averaging 97, but he's throwing all two seamers, like inside on the guy's hands. You're like, oh, sorry about your thumbs, guys. But I mean, when you have those guys, you can pitch at the velocity, and you don't have to go to your secondary stuff. But when you're throwing 80 or 98 to 100 and it's straight, big league hitters are going to catch up to it at some point. So you got to come up with that nasty slider that is, like, you know, off the charts. Well, most of the time it's usually a ball. Like some of these guys that come in that are, you know, two-pitch pitchers that are just throwing is it Whistler? Whistler was like 90 – he was like almost like 85% sliders. I was like –
that's Whistler.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, what are you guys doing? Just take every time. And then he just throws it for strike. And you're like, dang, that's not a good approach for him. But it's the fact that most of the guys that are throwing those secondary pitches, Tom, they're throwing balls. Yeah. They're chase pitches. And, you know, I think up and down the league, I mean, why are games so, you know, long? It's, well, guys aren't recognizing a lot of stuff. And then when they do, they take it and it's a ball. It's like when they don't recognize it, they swing over the top and it's like 3-2 count, 3-2 count, 3-2 count. So that, I mean, that's a big part of it.
You know, I was watching the SportsCenter last night, and I'm seeing a very disillusioned, frustrated Max Muncy, and it just made me so happy. I like it.
He called it the ocean. It's the bay, dude.
Seriously, I love a disillusioned Max Muncy. I mean, the Dodgers have dropped 14 to 17, Kev. Mm-hmm. They went 1-5 on the trip. They got a bunch of pitchers hurt. And the Giants, you know, it's funny. Tommy's talking about how nobody's throwing these fastballs anymore. The four-seamer, the Giants are 26 in baseball as far as four-seamers. They're not throwing any four-seam fastballs. They're throwing sliders and change-ups. And Sanchez is throwing curveballs. Yeah. And Wood's throwing a sinker. Webb's throwing a sinker. But the Giants starters have the highest ground ball rate in the league and the lowest home run rate in the league among any group of starters. Can they keep it up?
I think so. Because this goes – watch their pace. The starters for the Giants, they get on the mound. They're ready to go. That was a big thing I noticed in a series against us and why it frustrated a lot of our hitters. You get guys that are just, like, they're not taking their time. So it's always on you, right? Like, that tempo is on you. You feel a little bit of a pressure, and then you want to go get something. You want to go get that fastball, and they throw the changeup, right? And so that's a big part of it that I feel like. But the tempo that they have with the defense that they have. I mean, look, I don't care if Longo, Crawford, and Belt are, you know, long in the tooth in this game these days, they could pick it, right? And so more balls on the ground, more opportunities they have, and a better pace, that gives them that extra step. Because if you're just going to sit there and, you know, one pitch every minute, you know, you're going to see a lot of balls by you, you know, oh, this guy has no range. It's like, no, because he's stale right now. But the moment you get that tempo going, I mean, in the Giants pitchers, they're pitching to contact. And when you pitch to contact, guess what happens? With that infield, it's out.
Yeah. And they've been getting good outfield defensive play as well.
And, yeah. You know, I mean, anything's better than our outfield right now. God. No, it's not good, guys. It's not good. It's not good.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's not good.
We've gotten some interesting umpiring over the last few weeks, and it's not just courtesy of Angel Hernandez, although he is, once again, at the top of the why in the hell does this guy still have a job list, but some interesting replay decisions.
How about he guessed wrong?
Yeah. Now he's just out here guessing.
Guessed on the wrong play.
Would the players ever, or is it just something that they just don't have time for because their job is hard enough as it is? But would the players ever at some point say something needs to be done about it, or they just keep it quiet because you don't want to get on the bad side of these guys who, in essence, can control your happiness as a player on a pitch-by-pitch basis?
I think the fight has to be towards the owners. Like, if they if they want to pick the fight with the umpires union, then I feel like they've done the exact same thing as they did the last CBA, right? They fought for the wrong things. The union that they have, the umpires union is great. It's fantastic because they've fought for what they've gotten, right? They've earned that as far as negotiating that. It sucks, but it's something you live with because why? It's a union. They did what they had to do. We've seen some god-awful stuff. The Marty Foster play, you know, the pitcher's interference across
the line.
He was like 2 feet. Who was it, Godley from the Brewers.
Right.
And he flipped it to first, and Eson Diaz from the Marlins was not even – like, he was jogging the whole time. More jogging than anything, soft J. And to me, I don't understand how you even like say, oh, there's interference. There's like nothing. Because if
you could
go back on it.
You could have between the two of them.
Exactly. But remember the Trey Turner play, right, in the World Series? The ball by Peacock, just terrible throw up the line, but he was on, you know, inside the baseline. You're like, okay, whatever. So what's the difference? Like, I don't get it. Who has the right of way then, right, if that's the case? Marty Foster, and then doubling down, saying that he was completely right, was still baffling to me. Then we had our play. I don't know if you guys saw
Andrew McCutchen gets called out for going out of the baseline when he literally ran a line so straight it was as straight as the cut on the infield grass.
It's unreal. Like, I thought it was to the point where Joe Girardi was he was so livid, but it was like the one point it was like it was so dumb to argue because it was so blatantly bad. I feel like he laughed in a moment, just like, oh, Mike, you suck. God, I can't. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go, and I want you to go and watch, you know, as everyone plays it on the scoreboards, and just to understand that novice, he was the call-up, right? That was the umpire that was the call-up in that.
Oh, my God. So he just whiffed.
Right? And you're going, dang it. But he has to pay the price because at some point he's going back down no matter what. Right, he's not saved by anything on this, and you can almost go by performance with those guys, and that is a thing. So interesting to see some of this umpiring. And look, I actually think home plate umpiring, like the ball strikes this year, has been pretty dang good. And I'm a hitter that never thought anything was a strike, never, you know what I mean. I watching it this year, I'm like, they're not bad. It is not bad. I feel like I've seen worse, but the base pass stuff has been brutal, brutal.
Now, the one that I'm sure, I mean, I know Girardi was lost his skull was when Harper got hit, and then I think it was Gregorius got hit. And I don't think the pitcher meant to do it, but
No.
How can you, at that point, how do you issue the warnings after two of your guys get hit, and now the other team comes up, they're like, we're good. Yeah. I mean, I know what you're trying to do, but what you're doing now is taking any thought of retribution out of their heads, and they can just go dig in all they want. It's like it's just not fair. I mean, they should at least have that in their head, like, oh, man, this guy didn't try to do it, but who knows? I mean, it just – I hate that, and that's not the first game they've done it, but I just – that has always bothered me where they just say, all right, you got – I shouldn't say you got yours in this situation because he wasn't trying to get anything, but – it just seems it's a wrong message to send, I think.
I absolutely agree. Conversely, what they did the next day is the umpiring crew. Hector Neris came in the ninth inning, our closer, in a tie game. First two guys out, Edmund and Goldschmidt. And first pitch drilled Nolan Arenado, right?
Mm-hmm.
No warnings. Nolan Arenado, I just – Hector Neris hit him in one pitch, didn't throw it behind him, didn't throw it up at his head, just threw it right, you know, like about elbow high. Arenado didn't even look out, just took first base. It was so pro. And the umpire crew, you know what they did? They met in front of home, the pitcher's mound, and then they just went back to their bases. No warnings issued. Mike Schilt, the head coach or the manager for the Cardinals, he actually got thrown out of the game, and everyone thought that he was arguing over the fact of, you know, they were, you know, the way we hit him. He wasn't. He actually was arguing balls and strikes, and he came out. JT was in a squat, and he like looked over and he gave him, like, started laughing when he did, because it was like, oh my God. But he afterwards was like, you know what? What that? He goes, that was so pro. He goes, everyone did the right thing. The umpires, the players, no one got hurt. He goes, everyone got the message across. We got it. You got ours. Boom. You go to first. Nothing happened. It was amazing. Because, again, like the pitchers being on the mound and being ready to go, it's kind of, you know, you kind of take it for granted these days. Well, that's a moment that you kind of take for granted that someone actually did the right thing on all sides in a situation that could have gotten escalated. Because it was nasty. It was nasty, the one that hit Harp. Yeah. And the fact that he was, like, nothing broke, you're going, dang, like, how's that possible? Like, that 97 square right off the, you know, the left cheek, and you're going, oh my. But all the way around, handled terribly the night of, handled perfectly the day after.
Oh, Kev, there's been a lot of great moves for the Giants. I mean, getting Talkman the other day was a terrific move. The one
we're looking for center fielder.
The one that's worked five hits by ours. You know, the move that wasn't so great was getting rid of Sam Coonrod. Coonrod has just been dirty in your guys' pen. You're watching it. What's he doing? His ERA is what? Is it sub one or?
It's just slightly above one right now. So a couple things. He's been fantastic. Clean innings. I think it is. He's had six runners inherited. He's five of them have scored. So that's not good, right? So that's not going to be seen on a whole the ledger right there. But for the elite relievers, they're the ones that go one of six. You know, one of those guys. You know, through the first month at least. So he's been great. Clean innings. He has been when there's somebody on, but he's attacking the zone with his four seamer. And more than anything, he's throwing strikes. He's not trying to nibble at 100. He's able to hit. It's more corners than anything. And, you know, going back and watching stuff with
two walks, that's pretty good.
But see, like watching what he did in San Francisco, what was it? It was ball one, ball two. Ball one, ball two. Or it was like strike one and then two straight or three straight balls. So a lot of nibbling going on. And you never know. Like, you never know how he'd be with Buster, right? I mean, there's another thing. You know, last year in the way that they were throwing, we're seeing a lot of different, you know, him and Casale are pretty good combo right now.
Yeah.
So, the catching crew, the pitching guys, all that stuff, I always go back and you look, you're like, who are they throwing to? And you're like, Buster, I get it. Okay, I get it. And for us, with JT and Andrew Knapp, I mean, it's a great combo. So, Coonrod, throwing strikes is key. If he wants to be elite, it's going to be that stuff that Joe Girardi's going to have to, trust him when guys are on base, you know, bring him into a game. And that is a huge, huge factor because we're still struggling, guys. Like, it is, our bullpen was horrible last year, you know, the worst in Major League history. It's slightly better this year, slightly.
Hey, that's growth. That's what that is.
I guess. Yeah, I guess.
Except for that 6-run blow up against the Giants.
Ooh, that poor kid. Yeah. So that's the other part is, We found out, like, with the Alvarado stuff, Archie Bradley was injured at the time, but Alvarado was out with the COVID issues. And the ripple effect that those two guys have had on that bullpen, you know, it just puts everybody in their place. You got to have that bridge to get to Hector Neris at the time, who's our closer. And, it, you know, at some point might be Sam Coonrod, who knows. But it is that thing where you look at it going, oh, man, like, ugh. Brogdon, you got to wear this. And he had to wear it, and it sucks. Yeah. But he had to wear it, and, you know, that kid's unbelievable. And the Giants, you know what? They waited him out, made a mistake, capitalized on it. And that's what you're seeing with the Giants. That's the difference. It just feels like since, you know, the changeover and everything and approach and everything is guys are waiting out their pitches. They're having, a consistent approach and they're not chasing.
Yeah.
Right? And when you get a ball in the zone and you're not missing, that's a good thing because usually going far.
The Giants hitters have a plan, and for the most part, they have been able to execute that plan.
Yeah.
And along with the pitching and the defense, which have been the two surprises, that's why the Giants are surprisingly in first. On May 6th, this being Willie Mays' 90th birthday, I hope the answer to the question is yes, but did you ever get a chance to meet Willie? And
Every day.
Give us the story.
Yeah, so I annoyed all the veteran guys because I would go in and see him in Murph's office every day. I was never going to take a day for granted, ever. Not only, you know, all the stories my dad, my grandfather would tell about Willie Mays and the way that, you know, he played. Look, the sad thing is, like, especially this last year, how many guys we lost within, you know, the older crew of the Hall of Fame. We unfortunately lost stories, right? And doing this now, like on the baseball side, as far as calling games and understanding that most of our stuff is about stories, well, the time has changed. Everyone knows what's going on with, you know, like Mike Trout is not a legend, right? Because you could see every at bat. You look at, you know, just what, you know, like Buster Posey, he could be a legend in that time, like a Johnny Bench. But everything is recorded now. You know everything that's going on, and you're going, we're losing those stories. Well, Willie's, oh man, he would come in. So he would come in, and it would be him and Jimmy Davenport. Barry would get up and just like he would run in and just go and see him. Both those guys every time they'd come in, and for Willie, he would sit down and he'd tell you stories, and he would tell you how good he was at basketball because that's all he did in the offseason, because that was like staying in shape for him. He's like, ah, yeah, you know. And he was – just the stories that he would tell. Then he'd go, like, he'd go, Kev, go give me your bat. And I'd be like, all right, I'll go with my bat. It's cool. I'd show it to Willie Mays. And then I'm like – I'm bringing it. I'm like walking it back. I'm going, oh, God, this is tiny. Like, he's just going to crush it and swear – like, swear to you. He, like – he would grab – you know, like, I'd hand it to him, and I'd give it barrel first. And he'd be like, what the hell is this? And I'm like – he goes, this is my one-hand bat right here. And I'm like, Willie, like, I was supposed to be getting some, like, confidence. And he started laughing. And he got maybe like a 35 or 34, 34. And you're going, oh, my God. But he would shake your hand, and you'd be like, he would feel, like, in between the muscle of your index finger and your thumb, right? Uh-huh. So right there and in between there, there's this, like, little slight muscle. Well, for Willie, it's not a slight little muscle. It like, there's a hump. And you're like, damn. He goes, that's how you know there's a good hitter. He goes, you see these things? I can still rake. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. But, yeah, he was special. Like, I'll always go back. So, 2011, I had just gotten traded, a week prior of the 2010 season in spring training. So, I had seen Willie that, and I think it was 10. Was it 10 or 9? We saw the Willie and Muhammad Ali thing go down in spring training, which was, like, one of those surreal, like, bone-chilly moments. You know, just, like, there was a lot of history going on with this whole thing. They meet and they're in there, they're talking to us, all this stuff. So that was cool. But we go to Don and Charlie's. My folks are in town. He's signing, doing his book signing at the entrance. And I hadn't seen him in a year. And so little do I think he's ever going to even remember me. And I get over there and I'm like, Willie, what's up, man? And he's like, Kev! And my dad was floored. He's like, what? And I'm like, I was kind of floored. I was like, how did he remember me? But it was because I went in there every day and talked to him and asked him questions, because I was never going to take a day for granted of talking to the greatest baseball player to ever live.
Yes, sir.
And it still to this day, it gives me chills, because he loved it. He just loved talking baseball, right? And it didn't matter about anyone and everyone. He was open to everyone. And, as long as he gets to, back to the yard at some point consistently, like he used to, it would be so tremendous for those players.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Cool.
Before we let you go, how's the family? How's the new boy?
Yeah, he's good. Tooth nice. Coming through, so lack of sleep.
Fun times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just funny. He's the same size as Tenley was at 1 year, right? So she was a peanut. So it's not like saying he's a big boy. Oh. But, it's good, man. And the fact of the matter is, taking Tenley today was the coolest. Like, she was so happy. She's been playing softball. She rakes, Her team wins every week. Did you guys know that? T-ball. And, like, actually, they did last week, because they had, like, I think twice as many girls as the other team. So I totally let it by. And I'm like, yeah, you actually did win this week. So it was good. She found something that I don't know. She just has fun at, and it's amazing.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Nice. Well, so you know what you got to do now. You got to make sure that muscle in between her thumb and index finger, got to work on that, because, so Willie Mays said, how you got to hit her. So
yeah, we just got to work on muscle first.
Okay, maybe not the time. Maybe now is not the time to be specific. So
no, but
good
they're point. I thought soccer was the craziest with them all, with the ball, right? Chasing after it all.
Baseball or Little League or like softball, mob ball. Oh, yeah, I'm into that right now, man. There's nothing funnier.
One gets it and everyone's jumping on it, each other. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Funnier than watching 5-6-year-olds all run after the same ball that rolled through them because they weren't in ready position.
Oh,
yes.
So good.
It's like puppies out there.
It is. But they'll do anything that you say. So you're like, okay, go get the ball. And you're like, oh, run after it. Boom.
Yeah, exactly. Be well, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas.
Thank
See you,
Brandon.
See you, Kev.
Bye, dude.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.